No, really, at my age, when you stand up, you hate to sit down and have to get right back up. I hope you all had a great week. It's been a wonderful week. It's been an interesting week. It's been a week that always exciting before the feast comes. And we've had some blessings here lately. We had the blessing of Nick, his cancer's in regress. Vicky, her tooth come back to be where it should be without a doctor having to help her. And that's something she's really worried about. Then we also had reality of life, Mary Ellen May's funeral this past Thursday. And you know, I changed my whole sermon because of her dying. For the fact that I know a lot about Mary Ellen. And Mary Ellen was a unique person in a lot of ways. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about Mary Ellen today. And Ron was telling about his coming into church, you know. And I remember that for myself too. I couldn't figure out why they wouldn't let me come to church. It was 5 months for me. I knew you was worse than me. But I'll tell you, the day they invited me, now you're going to smile at this one, Ron, Day of Atonement. That was my first service. I would tell you why it was that, because I figured it out a couple years later, but you can imagine. But anyhow, Mary Ellen had quite a life. Not a good life. She came from quite a home. And it wasn't a good home. When I think what I've been through, and I know a lot of things about Mary Ellen and what I learned here lately, even more so, let me tell you, folks, most of us have really been blessed with parents who loved you. Her sister told me at the graveside, she came up and wanted to talk to me. And she said, our parents should never have had children. And she told me that they had to, all these years, go to each other at different times and help each other get through some of the things they had in their life. That gives you, I want to give you, that's a general idea of her life. It was horrible. Now I'm going to tell you what I asked. Susan Lockwood, before I went to the funeral, I said, is there a few words you'd like to say because you're one of her closest friends? You know, they've been together. They lived on the same street. They're about a mile apart, though, but it's on the same street. And they've been friends for many years. So she did. So I'm going to read it to you. Only those who were at the thing, I read most of it there, and I'll read most of it here. Okay? She writes at the beginning of it, says, Mary Ellen had a rough beginning in life. For example, as the oldest girl in a large family, she was required to babysit the younger ones when her parents were gone. When she was only 8 years old, she was babysitting when a drunk tried to open the front door of the house. Mary Ellen called her dad on the phone. He told her where his gun was and ammo were, and to get his gun and load it. He told her when the gun and ammo were ready and had it loaded, if the man continued to try to break in, she was to shoot through the door. 8-year-old, pistol, shooting through a door. Well, the man did try, and she did shoot through the door. Not killing him, but stopping him from breaking in. The police later found the man, but she was in no trouble. How many of you would like to have that experience as an 8-year-old child? You think you'd forget it? You think it would go away? You think Satan would let it go away? You bet not. You bet not. Because of her upbringing, she was very independent. And she really was. I remember one time, I was at her house a few years ago, and I was talking to her. And she said, "Dave, you said this." I said, "What?" She said, "You said this. You said in a sermon, sermonette, you said this." I said, "Well, I may have. You know, I didn't remember the time." She said, "Well, let me show you. This is Mary Ellen. This is the way Mary Ellen is." She came over. She said, "Come here, sit down." She started whipping through her Bible. Buddy, right there on top of that page, scripture that I quoted, she says, "Dave Hemsley said." And the minister at the funeral talked about how her Bible was written in, and she wrote all the time. She studied. Mary Ellen loved God because God loved her first. Like I said, she's very independent. She started out with very little, but she worked hard to support herself and Tammy. She saw to it that her daughters had a good education so they could take care of themselves if necessary. Hannah, one of her granddaughters, was born on Mary Ellen's birthday. Come to find out, there was a couple other of them that were born. They had 3 children born the same time as hers. She was very proud of that. This came later. It wasn't in this thing here. She just knew about the one. They always celebrated together, had lunch, go to a movie or some such. One time they went out to buy, and I got laughed at, and I said, "Bling? What is bling? Do you all know what bling is?" Anyhow, I had no idea. So everybody got a good laugh out of me because I didn't know. As Susan said, I was Mary Ellen's little sis because I was 2 weeks younger than she was. It was kind of a running joke with us. Mary Ellen's other granddaughter, Emily and Oliva, were in plays and performed musicals. She was very proud of them and attended their activities when she could. Mary Ellen, Betty Bonhart, and I would occasionally go to lunch together. They lived pretty close to each other. We also would talk on the phone at night, as all of us were night owls, and they were. They started after 10 in the morning, usually. She didn't say it, I'm telling you that. Mary Ellen, many years ago when Earl Barnhart was taken by ambulance to an ER, Betty was a nervous wreck, but Mary Ellen was there to take care of Betty and keep things calm. They were gone all night, but Betty needed her, and she was there the whole night. Mary Ellen would help anyone if she could. Since she and I lived so close, same street but a mile apart, she told me that if I ever needed help, to call her, as she could be there faster than the sheriff. When church had a singles program, the singles met in Tip City to go to a Richmond, Indiana, Roosters baseball game. Mary Ellen insisted on driving herself. Very independent, as you can see. Mary Ellen insisted on driving herself in case she decided to go home early. So she followed my car with only Jim Paris and me in it, all the way from Tip City to Richmond. Since she stayed for the whole game, she then followed Jim and me back to Tip City. After I dropped him off, she followed me all the way back to New Carlisle. She enjoyed the outing, just wanted to be her freedom to leave if she felt like it. In the last several years, we did not get out, but we would talk on the phone about once a week. When we had a breath to do so, because they both had breathing problems. That's why they both haven't been to church for years. She did not have a computer, so she depended on people letting her know what was going on at church. After she received her church directory, She commented that, "People sure look old." After she received her, I had a good laugh over that just like you did. That's what she said. I always knew she was there. Now it's rather lonely without Ellen, Mary Ellen. That was Susan's letter. As you can see, at 8 years old, it just got worse after that, after talking to her sister. So I want to tell you, happy Sabbath! We are here. We are God's people. God has blessed you and I with knowing His truth, just as He blessed Mary Ellen, which helped her go through all of these things of her life. And as God has helped you and I to go through what we've gone through, and God has opened our minds to know and to have the opportunity knowing that God will return, and He has chosen you and me and all the others in the world to be with Him. We need to understand the love God has for you and me, because that's why you and I are still here, because we love Him back. We did love. I was dead. I wish it was over, that I could be, my next waking moment would be with Jesus Christ. That's the way I've heard a lot of people say when they're having troubles, having pain, and she had pain. But you know, you who are out there, we do love you. We do care about you. And I hope that after this sermon, that you will make sure that you sign that card every week. They need encouragement. They need you. Whenever you're sick, whenever you're hurting, we need family. We are family. We're God's family. And thankfully we are here. As Ron brought out, many of the people we knew before aren't here. Fred has probably seen more people leave than anyone probably know, with being a pastor, being so many different churches, different people. And I know that's not a good spot in your heart. A spot in your heart is hoping they'll come back. And you know, sometimes people don't come back because they're afraid, oh, people will think this or that. And you know, we're not that way. We're full of love. We are so happy when people return who have left the church. It makes our day. And you just talk about, isn't it great that Jim or Joe or so? Sorry is, there isn't that many come back at this time. But when one or two do, they need to be welcome with love. God is love, and you and I are to be love. If we're following God and doing His will, following Christ's example, Christ loved God so much that He gave His life for you and me. Thing about Mary Ellen is she has no more pain. That's the good part. No more suffering. No more bad memories. No more. She will be with Jesus Christ, I pray, when he returns, along with each and every one of us. That's what God wants. He wants all of us to be there, to be changed. Whether it be from the grave raised up or a twinkling of an eye. And He says, if you obey Me, if you do My will, if you take My commandments and you live by them, you will be with Me in My holy city, New Jerusalem. He talks about in Revelation. Remember, that city is so small. It's only 1,500 miles square. We'll cover probably 2/3 of the United States. And Jesus Christ, light, will light the whole city. Or God the Father's, I'm sorry. God the Father's. And you and I will be able to look at him because we will be spirit beings. As a human being, we cannot take the light that he puts off. But a spirit being, we'll be able to be with and see our living Father and be a part of his family. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 15:50, if you will. Now, Ron, you must have been right. I was excited, I guess, about getting up here. On the butt of head of my Bible here, it says, our final victory. Now, this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. We just had the Feast of Trumpets. If we go through the whole program, we will be spirits today on the next holy day with the living God. And the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. You and I. We mortal beings. We will be a part of God's family. And you know what? God will be smiling from ear to ear, and I guarantee you, we will be smiling from ear to ear too. If not jumping up and down with joy. But whatever it is, you will be a part of it. And I will be a part of it. If you obey our God, love our God, and be the lights to the world that he has called us. We need to always remember, wherever we're at, whatever we're doing, you can be a light. And if we're not being a light, then we're not obeying God. Because he said he's called us back in Matthew 5:14. Go back there. I talk about it all the time. And we never want our light to go out. Sometimes we flicker. Don't get me wrong. We sin. And I know you sin. And I know I sin. And you know why I know that? Because we have Passover every year and we all have to be there. That's why God says, take the beam out of your own eye and don't worry about the other person. You have plenty to work on. Well, I'll get to her shortly. I knew something's wrong. I was in chapter 6. I started to read the other prayer. I said, something's wrong here. All right. In verse 4, well, let's go back to 13. Because you are the salt of the earth also. You are the salt of the earth. And the guidance God has given you and me. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under neither do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men. Cause. And just as Mary Ellen came out of the terrible situation she did, she had hope. Christ said he was going to fix for those who were coming. That's where we all want to be. That's the goal. The goal of the time Satan brings it up, you knock it down quickly. Because if he can open up your armor just a square, he will get into you. That's why we all have sins. We look so forward to these feast days. We look so forward to fulfilling the calling that God has given you and me. He has given you and I, who are nobody, when you compare to some of the people in the world. But God said he wasn't calling the great and the mighty. He said, I will take you and put you over the great and mighty. Because you will do what I say. You will love me. Hopefully we can have the heart of David. David knew when God said to do something, he did it. He didn't question it. And when we do what God tells us, God will take care of it. Whether you lose a job or whatever else, God will take care of you. I look at the widows, and we have a great bunch of widows. Because you see, they are a family inside the family. Because they help each other through the different difficulties that they face that some of us do not understand. It's like somebody who's been sick. I have had back trouble real bad. I understand the pain of back trouble. You have had back trouble, you have my empathy right now. I understand how much it hurts. You may have something else I've never had, and I don't understand completely, but I understand you're hurting because I've had the back trouble. But whenever you've had something that someone else has, you can really, in my opinion, pray a lot harder for them because you know exactly what they're going through. Someone who loses a loved one or a child or whatever. If you've been through that horrible time, it takes someone who's been there to understand it. Christ understands that. God understands it because his son Christ gave his life and he did nothing wrong. He suffered a horrible death. And he did it because his father asked him to do it. Our father has asked us through his commandments, love me with all your heart, all your might. And I will be with you. Don't bow to any images. Don't take my name in vain. Keep my holy Sabbath day. My feast days. I'm telling you how to love me. Because I love you. I created you. Each and every one of us are precious in God's sight. Sometimes we forget that. Because you see, we get so wrapped up in ourselves, we forget who is in charge of everything. First John 4:8 tells us that our God is love, and we are to love him. I won't turn there. God gave his son, Jesus Christ, for you and me and for the whole world. The guy there at her funeral brought that up, and he was right. First John 3:16, we do quote that scripture by itself, but those scriptures, and we used to always teach this years ago, you should always read the three scriptures before and the three scriptures after. I remember that was taught to me when I first came in church. Don't just read the one verse because they can make it say anything. Read the three scriptures before and the three scriptures after. So let's go to John 3:16. Let's read it. Read it that way. Because we know that's one in our mind. John 3:16. God so loved the world to give his only begotten son. Let's go to verse 12. Well, yeah, it's 4 above, but it's okay. If I told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you the heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven but he who come down from heaven. That is the Son of Man who is in heaven. And Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish. Not perish, not go away, but have eternal life. That is God's plan for you and me. We're not to perish. We're not to be taken away from Him. We're not to rot away. We are to be a part of His everlasting life with Him and His kingdom. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through Him might be saved. That's why we're to be full of love, not condemn people for what they don't know, not agree with them maybe for what they're doing, but we're to learn to love them. He sees our sins, and we repent. He loves us, and He'll forgive us. He also believes in Him who is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. A little bit more to digest. Christ giving us just a little more perspective of what God wants, what God expects. You and I are a chosen generation. We're chosen by the Almighty Living God. Do we understand? Do we take that for granted? Do we thank Him daily? Do we thank Him when you're able to get on your knees? The older people sometimes can't get on your knees anymore. And you know, that's fine. Just have your place you go to, sit down, a chair, a bed. Look outside and see the beautiful sunshine like this maybe and realize God loves me. God loves me. There's light. Beautiful light, sunlight. First Peter 2:9 talks about us being a chosen generation. You are a chosen generation. Can you believe being chosen out of this world? Out of all this world, God has chosen you and me. Everyone that is in God's church, in God's way of life, has been chosen by the living God. A royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him to who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. The light of understanding. The light of blessings. Light of being taken care of. When do you call out when you have trouble? We call out to God. Help me, God. Help me. God hears. Then do we come back and say, thank you, sir? Do we come back? Do we say thanks often enough? I'm sure we can all say no. Because we take so many things for granted. We take it for granted when it's older people get up alive. Come on. You never know. Don't take it for granted that you live in the greatest nation there is. You've been blessed to live in the United States. I've been blessed to live in the United States. I've been blessed to be with you here in Dayton. And I'm glad Fred's been blessed to be with us too now. And I believe he is. He has a lot to offer us. And we have a lot to offer him. just as we have a lot to offer each other. He's pointing to Renee. Yeah, he got Renee. He's over there counting his blessing. But you know, we're blessed to be with each other. That's why God called us as a family. We need to get to know each other better and better, that our love may pour out and set the example. But we also need to realize we are to be the light to the world. You know, you can go through and see someone having a hard day. Oh, I had an experience the other day, so I guess that's why I'm thinking about it. I was going through a cashier, and you could tell she had a rough day. I mean, she was an older lady. She just looked rough. So I made a funny comment to her, and she just started laughing. And I said, "You feel better?" She said, "Yeah, thank you." You know. And I used yours the other day on a young lady about the baby. Oh, I had this little baby probably about 3 or 4 months old. This young girl had her. I took it was her first one because she's pretty young. And I said, "Isn't that the most beautiful baby in the world?" She said, "Yeah, yeah." And she got all excited. I became her friend. But I said, who's going to say no? Like Fred says, who's going to say their child isn't beautiful? Did anybody in here ever see Seinfeld, the episode he had about the ugly baby? Anybody see that? Oh, I thought I'd die laughing. And you know, a young couple, she's so excited about, "Oh, I want to show you my baby. Oh, come here, see my baby. Isn't she just beautiful?" And the guy, "Just something, isn't it?" He said, "Yeah, it's something." And he walks away. And like, "Ah!" You know. So the other person comes, I think it was a lady, and she said, "Isn't she just a darling?" And he goes, "Isn't she just different?" And he said, "Oh, yeah, yeah, you're right." You know, and walks away. And she did the third, and did the third time. And they're all going, "Can you believe someone up?" You know. But it's all in the eye of the person looking at us. And you know, each and every one of us are beautiful to God. Each and every one of us are loved by God, and He wants you and me to be with Him, and He can brag about you anytime you do anything right. He can say, "Did you see my, remember how he said about some of the older people? What about my servant here, you know? What about this?" Think about Job, what Job went through. Basically, God said, "Hey, Satan, see what you can do with Job. He won't leave me." Job went through terrible times. Lost his whole family. Lost everything he had. He would not curse God. His wife said, "Just curse God and die." He didn't. And then God gave him more than he ever had before. Because he was what? He was an obedient servant. He loved his God, and he knew there was some reason, but he couldn't figure out what it was. You and I go through trials. We have problems. We are a family. We need to know who needs prayers. We need to know who needs help. Any type of help. We are to love one another, because if we are loving each other, we are loving God. Because God loves each and every one of you, and He wants each and every one of you to take care of. I fear widows. Well, I shouldn't tell them that. They'll take advantage of me. No. But you know, God says they're His. They're His. Now, if a widow comes up to you and asks you to do something, and you say no, or "I can't do it now," or "I can't work it in my schedule," whose wife are you telling that you can't do it? She's God's. She's looking after that widow. That's why I fear widows. But I will tell you a story. It happened to me years ago. many years ago. I was in church, and there's a widow. She had a few children, so her and her husband were getting divorced, so I went over and I mowed her lawn. Every week, mowed her lawn. And I was glad to do it, because I knew God said, and I had the time. No reason I shouldn't. 1 week I was there, and she said, "Well, you have to do it." I looked at her and I said, "What?" She said, "Well, you have to do it." That was my last time back there. You know, I do have to do it, but I don't have someone have to tell me thank you, thank you, but I have someone appreciate that God sent me to help you. That's the difference. If you're not thankful for what God does for you, then why is anybody going to do something for you? That's your problem. That wasn't my problem. I still took her kids to YOU outings, basketball practice, cheerleading practice, and all that. But I never went back and helped that lady. I'm sorry. I forgave her, you know, but I never went back. But you know, we don't have any in here like that. None one I've ever met. They're kind, they're generous, they're loving. They're God's children. They're God's. And I love each and every one of them, as I love each and every one of you. Because after 50-some years, you may be tired of me, but I'm still glad to be with you. And I hope to go a few more years. But we must understand, we are to be the lights of the world. We're to be the lights to each other. This world is turned upside down. And we need to understand that we got to come out of this world. And we got to keep our distance. Everything that's going to happen, all this garbage, that you hear in the news, this person's going to do this and they'll do this and da-da-da-da-da. It's a bunch of hot air. Because they're not going to do anything that God doesn't allow. God's in charge. You know, everybody said, who couldn't lose last time? And he lost. Satan is devious. Satan can change everything except God keeps it. Our hope and everything that we have is wrapped around our God. He's the one who is in charge. He is the one who's in charge. He is the one who loves you and me. He's the one who will take care of you and me. He is the one who will strengthen you and I. If we study, we pray, and we do our part, you and I are going to grow spiritually more every day. I need to. We all do. We can't stop growing. We're getting ready to keep God's Feast of Atonement. And I know you're all looking forward to that day. And we should be. Ooh, surprise you. A lot of people don't like to think they have to fast. Why do we fast? It's the only time God tells us to fast. Because he wants all our attention. We are going to be taught. We are going to be with the God of God, the Lord of lords, and the King of kings. That's what's coming next for you and me. That's in his plan, and we want to be there and be a part of that. And then we want to be a part of the rest of it. Feast of Tabernacles and the Last Great Day. Getting the jobs that you and I will be given. Oh yeah, we're going to be kings and priests. You're going to be busy. Mr. Keller's been a minister for years. Let me tell you how busy he's been taking care of you and me. How many people are we going to have that you and I are going to be part taken care of during the Feast of Tabernacles. People who have been through the worst there is. Yeah, that's our calling. And yes, you can do it, and yes, I can do it. You know why? Because God says you and I can, if we do what He tells us. As Paul says in 2 Timothy, let's turn there in closing. I'm sure you know what I'm going to talk about there. 2 Timothy 4:7. Here's what Paul says. Let's go to verse 6. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved His appearing. May you all have a great Day of Atonement, a great Feast of Tabernacles, and a great Eighth Day. Because when we finish God's plan, we truly know what He has intended for you and me.